This is where we practice being vulnerable and brave. This is where we're reminded we're the beloved children of God. This is where we say, I'm sorry, and begin again in love. This is where we work for justice and imagine a world made whole. This is where a new story is born as we weave it with our lives. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website, where you can sign up for the link and get all sorts of important information about life at FCC Natick and the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are, for 22 years today, an open and affirming congregation. Woo! Fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have the playground down front, lovingly staffed nursery care. Good morning to everyone in the nursery. And Sunday school up through grade 6 after the word for all ages. Couple announcements. We've got Trunk or Treat coming up next Saturday from 3 to 4. We need a few more cars willing to pop open their trunks and, that doesn't sound appropriate, and decorate them and hand out candy. If you would be interested, you can see me or Ms. Robin. Ms. Robin, would you raise your hand? We've got lots of ideas that you could participate. Just 1 hour outside, lots of fun, trunk or treat next Saturday. And if you are not able to participate with your car, you can still donate candy. And if you can't donate candy, you can just come and walk around and get candy. And who knows, maybe the Flutie Batmobile will be there again this year. We just don't know. This fall, we have been looking at our stories, looking at stories from the Bible and from the world and from our own lives. Some of them have made us sad. We've been weaving those stories together, and we've been looking for meaning and guidance and strength and God's presence throughout. This week, like last week, is a little bit different. Still stories and still weaving. But now, this week, we are doing the holy work of being a witness. Today we bear witness to beloved siblings seeking asylum in the United States. They had to flee their homes because of threats, persecution, or abuse, all because they were lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. As we are today celebrating 22 years as an open and affirming congregation, there is so much to celebrate, but there are still so many lives at risk. There are so many stories that are silenced. So today, we bear witness to just a few. Of course, I hope we'll still find overlap with our own stories, find meaning and strength in the presence of God. But if all we do is bear witness to the pain and resilience and glimpse God in someone else's story, I believe that is holy ground as well. So I'm so grateful today to Al Green, who is the ministry director from the LGBT Asylum Task Force, who will offer our reflection today. He will be sharing stories from the task force. We also have asylum seekers with us today. They will not be sharing their stories aloud in worship. Al will share some of their stories. But for those on site, they are with us. There are tables at both entrances to the sanctuary. They will be there with some resources to share with you after worship, and they will be with us in coffee hour for conversations afterwards. And there are extra points today on site and online for those who could be active witnesses. I know this isn't everybody's cup of tea, and that's fine, but if you could be an active witness today, even better. So an active witness who hears something they agree with strongly, what might they do? An active witness who hears something. They might go, what else might they do? Oh, they might say amen. An active witness at home and online might say amen. An active witness who is deeply moved by what they hear. What might they do with their hands? What might they do? We might get some snaps. We might get some waves. Maybe some hands over our heart. Something like this. When someone's done speaking and someone's been really moved, wants to give thanks for what's been shared. When we want to give thanks at the end, we might. Maybe some jazz hands. Can I see some jazz hands? Oh, look at you, do really good with the jazz hands. Yeah, so extra points for active witnesses today. Beloved, as we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit, deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him, but they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light that once was in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light."
Good morning. I'm Carolyn. My pronouns are she, her. And no, Cindy and I did not correspond this morning when we were choosing what to wear, but sometimes it just happens. Please join me in the call to worship. Your response is, "Your story is welcome here." Some stories are silenced. Your story is welcome here. Some stories are stolen. Your story is welcome here. Some stories are dangerous. Your story is welcome here. God calls us to make room for each other's stories, so your story is welcome here. Amen. Our opening hymn is "All Are Welcome," which unfortunately is not in the hymnal. You'll have to use the bulletin or you refer to the screens. You are invited to rise in body or spirit. Thank you. Please be seated. Our centering prayer today begins with a little bit of quiet. So take a minute to breathe and sense those around you, right in the room for those of you in the sanctuary, or in your house or neighborhood for those at home. Let us pray. Weaving God, bring us together, interlace our rich variety into a web of texture and color. Not too tight, but with room for movement. Entwine us into a net to catch those who are falling. Fill every strand with your presence, so we know we are one with you. Remind us that every story matters in this tapestry of love. As we pray with the words Jesus taught us, Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, in each other's faces, we glimpse the living God. But in the midst of the world's noise, that divine spark is so easy to overlook. As we share God's peace this morning, let's open our eyes and hearts and see the presence of God all around, in person and online. God's peace be with you. Thank you.
Our scripture reading this morning is the very familiar words of 1 Corinthians 13, but this is an alternative version by Donald Schmidt.
What if I could stand up here and say the most wonderful things and sound impressive and answer everyone's questions, but I didn't love anyone? What would be the point?
What if we were the most incredible church where every pew was filled, the preaching was always inspirational, we had a choir that always sang perfectly, and we served the best coffee in town, but no one felt love? What would be the point?
And if, as a community, we teach our children lots of data and knowledge, and they can recite the books of the Bible and know all the right words, but they don't know how to love, we've failed them.
If we are happy to write checks and shake cans, and yet we don't do anything to alleviate poverty, racial inequity, injustice, and bigotry in this community, in our workplaces, what have we gained?
If we don't love, what is the point?
Love is good. Love is patient and kind. Love is trusting. If we remember that God's love triumphs in the end, if we really believe that, then we can trust God. We can dare to dream, dare to live as God's people. Love always wants what's best, even for the other person.
Love is always supportive. Love turns things around, takes hopeless situations, and lets us see hope in them. Love enables us to move mountains, break down walls, and plant flowers. Love never, ever, ever ends.
We may even give up, but God's love will continue, and what is perfect will someday appear. What is not perfect will disappear. The world will turn and turn.
You know, when we were small children, we looked at the world with a childlike wonder. We trusted, we dreamed, we wondered, we hoped. And then we grew up and we became practical. We became cynical. And now all we can understand about God's way is what our grown-up minds will let us. But when we allow our inner child to listen to the voice of God and to really live, we're not so scared anymore, and we have a sense that things will work out. We know that one day yet, we will see God face to face.
One day we will understand everything, just like God does now. But for now, we don't need to do that. We don't need to know everything. We don't need to understand everything. We don't need to have all the answers to life questions. We don't have to wait till we're older or wish we were younger. We don't have to wish we were taller or shorter or more good looking. We just have to try. Try and do what God wants of us. Stop looking for excuses. We simply have to remember that there are three things in life that really matter: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of them is love.
These are our sacred teachings. May we have the vision and wisdom to live them.
Amen. Children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. Sometimes, too often, there is not enough love in the world. People say mean things. They do cruel things. They make laws that hurt people. Living in a world where there is not enough love is hard. Is that one of those things that maybe you agree with? Is that one of those things that maybe, okay, did we just not like 10 minutes ago have a, okay, all right. Living in a world where there is not enough love is hard. It is exhausting.
Amen.
It wears on our souls.
Amen.
I think part of why we come to church is to get a little soul repair from living in that world without enough love. We practice creating sacred space, like in this scripture reading, where there is patience and kindness and trust. And at church, when we blow it, because sometimes we will blow it, we take responsibility and apologize and try again, because that's what love does. But we know it isn't enough to just gather with God and each other and get a little soul repair for ourselves. God is calling us to grow love in the world outside these walls too. One way we do that is through our commitment to be an open and affirming congregation, a promise we've made to each other, to the world, and to God for 22 years. Amen. So Ms. Carolyn, who leads our open and affirming ministry team, is going to lead us in making that promise again today. Ms. Carolyn is going to proclaim the covenant, and we will have a response to each line of the covenant. You can find it in your bulletin and on the screen. We're the yellow on the screen and the bold in the bulletin.
Okay. The First Congregational Church of Natick.
That's us.
Affirms the dignity and worth of every person.
Every person.
We are called to express the love and welcome of Christ.
We each carry the Christ light in the world.
We celebrate the diversity of God's creation.
God's creativity is amazing to behold.
And the gifts, talents, and resources,
like listening, organizing, teaching,
of all who strive to build a church that is faithful to God.
Want to serve on council?
We, therefore, covenant again.
God is our partner.
To be an open and affirming congregation.
And we seek to earn that status every day.
We embrace and support those who experience rejection.
No matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here.
And find themselves in exile from spiritual community.
We take responsibility for the harm the church has done in the past and seek a new way forward.
We welcome people of every ability, race,
each person a beloved child of God,
culture, gender,
each person a beloved child of God,
economic circumstance,
each person a beloved child of God,
gender identity, gender expression, and sexual orientation.
Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, questioning, intersex, asexual, and whatever new ways of living we will learn, each person a beloved child of God. Amen and amen. Carolyn. Children up through grade 6 are welcome to leave for Sunday school.
Good morning, FCC Natick.
Good morning.
Well primed. So my name is Al Green. I'm the Ministry Director of the LGBT Assigned Task Force. Thank you for extending the invitation for us to be in worship with you today as you're marking 22 years of being an open and affirming congregation. That's right. Friends, let us pray. Everlasting God, you are love itself. not a feeling that fades, but a force that liberates. As we celebrate FCC NAIDIC's faithful years of being open and affirming, open our hearts once again to the truth of your word, that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. May this love shape our community, our courage, and our witness in the world. Amen. Friends, today we celebrate not only an anniversary, but a calling. We celebrate this church's stance to be bold as an open and affirming congregation, declaring that every person, especially our LGBTQ plus siblings, is created in the divine image and is fully worthy of love and belonging. And what better scripture to center this moment than 1 Corinthians 13, Paul's hymn to love. We know these words well. We've heard them at weddings, recited them at celebrations of life, perhaps even memorized them. But Paul didn't write them for romance. He wrote them for a fractured church, a community struggling with division, pride, and inequality. Sounds familiar, right? In the middle of that chaos, he offers a vision of a higher way. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Without love, he says, or eloquent words, or big faith, or grand acts of service, all of it rings hollow. Without love, the church loses its soul. Paul goes on to describe what real love looks like. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. This is not sentimental love. It's revolutionary love. It's love that refuses to be complacent in the face of cruelty. It is love that rejoices in the truth, even when that truth is hard to face. And friends, there is hard truth in our world right now. Over the past several months, we have witnessed a new wave of cruelty and fear. Policies have targeted asylum seekers, forcing thousands to wait in unsafe conditions, cutting humanitarian programs, and expanding detention centers where LGBTQ plus migrants face violence and neglect. We've seen transgender rights once again attacked, protection stripped away, healthcare restricted, gender-affirming care banned for youth, and identity documents erased. We have heard leaders speak words that divide rather than heal, labeling queer families as threats and painting immigrants as criminals. But 1 Corinthians 13 reminds us that love does not delight in wrongdoing. Love rejoices in the truth, and the truth is that every human being is sacred. The truth is that our nation's policies should reflect compassion, not cruelty. The truth is that love will be silent, will not be silenced by hate. Love, as Paul describes it, is not weak. It is the strongest force that there is. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This kind of love is what sustains asylum seekers on dangerous journeys, crossing deserts and borders in search of safety. It's what gives LGBTQ plus people the strength to come out, to live openly, to survive in a world that still tells them they don't belong. And it's what sustains this church and my church, Haddon Park Congregational Church, UCC, home of the LGBT Asylum Task Force, as we continue to stand on the side of love when it's not always easy. We welcome people who've been pushed out of family, church, and country. People who have fled imprisonment, assault, and death threats. Not because they did something wrong, but because they had the courage to be themselves. Over 60 countries still criminalize lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer people. Not just culturally, but also legally. In many of these places, being queer isn't just unsafe, it's punishable by imprisonment, violence, or death. In our world, oftentimes, hate and cruelty are driving forces behind our actions. In Worcester, we see what happens when love is the presiding point. We see lives transformed. Over 400 individuals from 34 of the 60 plus countries have found safety and belonging. Last year alone, we answered the calls of over 140 asylum seekers in need of housing and support. Over 140 asylum seekers we've been able to answer the call to. This year is actually trending above last year, which was a record year for us. Almost 9,000 individuals and allies so far this year have turned to us for guidance, strength, and hope. And that's a 12% increase from last year's figures. Congregations throughout the country and internationally have been mentored so that they too can be on the front line pouring out love to people. And despite the odds, despite a system that is often against them, 100% of our asylum seeker guests have won their cases, when only 24% of cases in the overall system are successful. And all of this is because when you fight for justice, when you lift up the marginalized, when you believe in the dignity of every soul, transformation is possible. Amen. Space has been made in our world so that folks could become doctors, teachers, and city officials, so that faiths could be renewed, so that a boy who sat outside in the cold with just a backpack could become a business owner employing several people, and so a woman who underwent corrective gang rape could become a nurse, bringing healing to many. Today we have a couple who have made the journey here with me. They understandably would rather not speak from here, but are willing to share aspects of their stories with you afterwards during coffee hour. Friends, the stories that could be told that speak to the determination of people who travel similar journeys and are united in their inspiring sense of hope. Paulo and Kwame, who are here with me today, both came across the border at different times. They shared their horror of seeing fellow travelers die around them. Kwame in crossing the Rio Grande, Paulo in hopping onto moving trains while escaping immigration officials. Despite this trauma, they are here and they're on their way to healing and are building out their new lives within a community that allows them to be their authentic selves. Believe it or not, all of this came about by chance, or if you'd rather, by the movements of the Holy Spirit. The task force was created in 2008 when a gay asylum seeker from Jamaica was referred by his attorney for support. Linford Cunningham was having difficulty preparing for his asylum case. He was homeless, he was hungry, and had serious doubts as to whether God loved him as a gay man. His attorney remembered that our senior minister, Pastor Judy, had received some write-up for being a vocal supporter during the state's equal marriage fight. Our little church on the corner of Clover and Knox Streets in Worcester got together and provided shelter, food, and love until he could work and support himself. We knew nothing about the asylum process and how it could take many years before an asylum seeker is even granted an interview. We did not know that folks were struggling to find safe shelter and food because they are not allowed to apply to work until 5 months after they had applied for asylum, and that it could take several more months before they received their work permits. We certainly did not make the connection that folks who were fleeing persecution in their home countries could not get the startup help from their kinfolk in this country like their non-LGBTQ counterparts could. Many face discrimination, hurt, and rape, even here in the U.S. Gradually, Many faith-based and justice-seeking entities and individuals started donating their resources. We're used as a conduit through which many provide not just housing and food, but connections to pro bono attorneys and educational, medical, and mental health resources during the period that it can take for an asylum seeker to legally work and support themselves. Because we have chosen to be Christ followers, supporting the new beginnings of LGBTQ individuals, thousands of lives have been directly and indirectly impacted. Now, it costs us $55,000 per month to support up to 40 asylum seekers in our housing. Make no mistake about it, this has not been easy for our relatively small church of just over 100 members. Our faith and the abundant support from the community have allowed us to continue this work. And I must say, they leave me inspired. Last year, we saw a 50% increase in LGBTQ asylum seekers reaching out to us for support. Many even for just various reasons, just showing up unannounced at the back of church on a Sunday morning. Now, this has placed a strain on our already limited financial and people-powered resources, but just when I'm ready to rip out the little here that I have left, the community stepped up to help to keep us going. They've donated their skills to help rewire our homes, given driving lessons, helped with job searches, hosted peer support groups, given rides to appointments, researched funding opportunities, and leveraged their privileges to direct funding and publicity our way. They've served on committees, housed asylum seekers, hosted fundraisers, offered jobs, and just as importantly, been a listening ear so that folks can feel seen as they navigate this long and often lonely journey. I am grateful for congregations like yours. You who show up, do stand out at ICE buildings, give, pray, advocate, and love. You who believe that the church must be a place where no one is criminalized for who they are or whom they love. Advocacy is integral to our call as Christians, rooted in the example of Jesus and the prophets who came before us. Amen. As barriers to seeking asylum are being put up in the form of fear, a new $100 asylum application fee, a new $550 work permit application fee, and a new annual $100 fee to keep pending application cases, asylum applications open. We remain committed to breaking each and every one of them down. Yes, it will cost us an additional $20,000 annually to absorb these fees for our guests. Yes, it will mean that we will have to be more creative in finding resources to deal with the stress that our guests are experiencing. And yes, it will be a difficult road, but if we stand up and walk together in radical love, each of us doing the bit that we can, I promise you that all things are possible. Friends, I encourage each of you to consider how it is that you can spread the love that our faith requires of us. Whether through volunteering your time, donating resources, or spreading the word about our mission, your support is crucial. Help protect the dreams of our neighbors to simply exist. As you celebrate this anniversary, remember, you are a living testimony to that relenting kind of love. Let's pray. God of boundless love, thank you for this congregation, for its courage, its witness, and its enduring commitment to your children of every gender, orientation, and identity. In an age of division, make us instruments of your love that bears, believes, hopes, and endures. When policies harm, let us heal. When fear shouts, let us sing of hope. When hate rises, let us rise together. May we be known, O God, not for what we oppose, but for how deeply
we love. Amen.
Amen. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share prayers aloud, and all are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org, and we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Good morning, Jen.
Good morning. My joy is that we got to go to Rupert Church today. I'm a friend of Rupert Court Hall, and spent the whole day with him.
We are so glad to have Rupert with us today. This is the young friend we have been praying for as he has been going through treatment. But I really think Jen has just been really enjoying snuggling a little one over there. And we also have Rupert's big brother with us today. Teddy, is that right? So a joy to have both of them with us today. Thanks, Laura. We welcome Ian to the world. So, Lori, you're an aunt. Congratulations. And Nathan's a cousin for the first time. We welcome Ian to the world. Joy, joy. Doug.
Joy for all the wonderful energy and peacefulness of yesterday's stand-up.
Doug is lifting up the joy for the energy that was witnessed in so many places, and I'm thinking he may be particularly referencing Natick yesterday with the standouts, and also the way in which it was so peaceful around the country. Thanks, Doug. Is there another one over here? Yeah, Carolyn.
I thank you to the Episcopal Diocese of Massachusetts and Western Massachusetts and the Native Nipmuc tribe who spent over a year organizing a way for us to join them in the sacred journey to Deer Island on the 350th anniversary of the gathering up of all the praying Indians from all over Massachusetts, marched to Deer Island and essentially left to die with no services, nothing.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I have a concern for another two native communities on the coast of Alaska who have been wiped out this week by a typhoon, the effects of a typhoon, which is only getting worse because of the climate change created by us. So,
right. Let me start with the joy.
Yeah.
So Carolyn is lifting up the gratitude that we have to the Episcopal Diocese of Boston and the Western Episcopal Diocese, as well as the Nipmuc tribe of, one of the Nipmuc tribes of Natick, that put together this sacred journey that allowed us to travel to Deer Island part of the Boston Harbor, as well as all the educational components that went with it to help us understand the internment of Native peoples 350 years ago, as Carolyn said, when people were just left there to die. You will be hearing more about what we saw and observed and some of the work we have to do there, our gratitude for that very powerful experience. And then Carolyn is lifting up the impact off the coast of Alaska to indigenous tribes wiped out by the typhoon created by human-caused climate change, for which we are so responsible, and how we wrestle with that. Thanks, Carolyn. Pam. Yeah, I'm not going to put it as beautifully as Pam just did, but Pam is expressing gratitude to Al for all of the words he shared today. Pam's reflecting on her own experience as a lesbian, so there's gratitude for the individual journeys and the reminder of the variety of experiences and how much work there is to be done. Thanks, Pam. Declan. So we're all going to be going to Declan's birthday party on November 1st, is what I just understood from that. So I'll be looking forward to the invite. Thank you. You're going to need a bigger cake, is what I heard. So we will start the countdown to Declan's birthday on November 3rd. Okay, good. Did I miss other joys? Lane? I did. Stephanie, did I miss a joy? Is she home? So she's doing a little bit better. So Stephanie's aunt has managed to leave the hospital and is doing a little bit better. So prayers for continued recovery and staying out of the hospital. Thanks, Stephanie. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Pam. The funeral for Pam's mom, Lois, will be next Saturday, October 25th, at Wellesley Hills at 11 a.m. Did I get it all right? Yeah, we don't need to say congregational. As long as we say Wellesley Hills and not Wellesley Village, they know which one I'm talking about. We will get that in the link as well. But did I get 11 a.m. right? Okay, great. Thank you, Pam. Thank you. Robin. Is it the treatment?
Yeah, she's been having like allergic reactions to treatment, and they have to do a lot. Roadblocks.
So we're continuing to hold in our prayers Robin's college friend Jen, who's in treatment for cancer, and in part the treatment is just she's just hitting one roadblock after another. So prayers for a better way forward for her. Thanks, Robin. Lane, do you have any concerns up there?
Just personal for my friend Jeff, who is struggling with a blood clot in his leg.
Lane's friend Jeff has been dealing with blood clots in his leg, and it's been really frustrating for him this week. So prayers for Jeff. Yeah. David.
Thank you.
David is lifting up the death of one of his patients this past week. Kareem's 40 years old. David listed some of the diagnoses that Kareem lived with, but most importantly, David talked about Kareem's sweet smile. And it is the sweet smile that matters way more than the diagnoses Kareem lived with. And it is clearly the smile that had the impact on David. And so we are grateful for that relationship and that smile. And we celebrate Kareem's life and the lives that he touched. Thanks, David. Oh, I have a concern. Linda M's family is doing today's Alzheimer's walk. So there's just a bunch of Alzheimer's walks. The McLarens are doing one next week. Linda M's family is doing one today in memory of her husband, Dick. So we're holding them in prayer today. Our pastoral prayer this morning is from Reverend Mary Ludi from the collection Stating Our Faith in Urgent Times. Let us pray. We believe the day is coming when God's grace will change the human heart, and we will live as one with every living thing. We believe the day is coming when Christ's compassion will fill the earth, and no one will do harm, be hurt, or feel alone. We believe the day is coming when the Spirit's freedom will unbind our souls, and we will live generous lives for each other with a joy no circumstance can alter. We believe the day is coming, and we wait and work for it with steadfast hope, for God has promised it, and God is faithful. Amen. Today we celebrate our open and affirming covenant by supporting the work of the LGBT Asylum Task Force. There are special offering envelopes in the pews for those of you on site, and you can give via check and online by noting LGBT Task Force in the memo line. As always, participation in this special offering is optional. Our outreach team has contributed $300 in seed money to this donation, so you are already part of this work. As we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, we do so with prayers of gratitude for the asylum seekers who have already safely arrived in the U.S. But we do not forget those who still live in danger. And we work for a world where someday every country, including our own, will be as open and affirming as this community of faith.
Thank you.
God of abundance, bless these gifts and especially the lives that need them. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 363, In the Midst of New Dimensions. May be seated. Following worship, those on site are invited to coffee and conversation in the chat room, room 116, because of open studios in the vestry, which you can also check out. Go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all persons, honor all creation, love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit, and may the love of God, the light of Christ, and the power and communion of that Spirit be with us all. Go in peace. Amen.
And give it up for him.